So there was this perfect woman and this perfect man, and they got together and they were the perfect couple, and they were driving in the perfect car on this scenic, beautiful road on a gorgeous day, and as a perfect couple, they were looking at each other, enjoying the sights, and then they saw a buggy that was broken down. So, like the perfect couple, they stopped to help whoever was in distress. And they stopped, and lo and behold, it was the Easter Bunny. And the Easter Bunny was there with a broken buggy and all of the eggs. And it was right before Easter, and it looked like that this would be terrible. But the perfect couple saved the day and said, "Oh, we'll take you to all your stops." So he jumps in the car. As they continued down the road, the weather got bad, and it got worse, and it got even worse, and eventually they crashed, and only one survived. Who survived? The Easter Bunny. Because after all, there is no such thing as a perfect woman, or a perfect man, or a perfect couple, right? Or do you think there is? You see, the first service, everyone laughed hysterical because they acknowledged the fact that they had imperfection, right? I think we are slow to acknowledge the fact that we are imperfect. But the reality is the church is here as an infirmary for all of the imperfect people, for all of the people that fail to make the mark, for all of us who don't do everything we're supposed to do or we can do. Does that make sense? Do you see yourself among that group? Or do you see yourself as the elite, as the perfect, as the pious? I would venture to say that all of you understand your sin. You understand the need for forgiveness. You understand the need for a shepherd. And that's why this Sunday is very significant. Now, I wish Jesus talked about being the good bartender or the good sports coach or the good, I don't know, friend, because I have experience with all those people. But Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd." I grew up in Staten Island, and although we had some wildlife, we did not have many sheep except at the Staten Island Zoo. So my experiences with sheep are in little penned areas and saying, "Oh, they're kind of cute." But when I was in seminary, I was blessed to be in seminary with an actual shepherd from New Zealand at the General Theological Seminary. And when we started to study this 10th chapter of John's Gospel and all those great I Ams, I was so excited because we had a picture at church, similar to the bronze we have back there, of Jesus the Good Shepherd with a sheep on the back of his neck and carrying that lamb to safety. That was a picture that was in the Sunday school children's room downstairs at Zion Lutheran Church, one that is probably in every church. But I saw my friend the shepherd roll his eyes, and I asked, "Why does this a problem for you?" And he said, "Well, you know, I was a shepherd, so I understand this stuff completely different than you." So I said, "You have to enlighten me and you have to tell me about sheep and the shepherd's job." So he said the job was basically terrible, and that's why he was becoming a priest, to leave his family business. He was running from being a shepherd. And I said, "Well, why is it so bad, God bless you?" He said, "Because the sheep are terrible." He goes, "They stink and they're dirty and they don't listen." As a matter of fact, he said that they were stupid. I said, "Stupid? Maybe, you know, intellectually challenged. How about that?" He said, "No, they're stupid." He said, "You know, the sheep, they'll hang out in one area. They'll eat all the grass all the way down and there'll be nothing left for them to eat. And then they'll just sit there and they'll starve to death unless someone leads them somewhere else. They're not like cows that keep on moving, or even the goats that are more resourceful. No, the sheep are just, they're really dependent, and it's a lot of work." So I said, "Okay." So it started to change my idea of why Jesus would use this image of sheep and people and shepherding. It's going to get worse. Don't worry, Russ. So what he said was, you know, he said, that was bad. He goes, but what's even worse is sometimes these sheep will get this kind of independent thought. And all of a sudden you'll have a lamb that'll just get up from the flock and just wander off. Just wander off all by itself, and you'll lose a sheep. And you'll do your count, and you'll be missing one. And then you have to put a search party together. You got to look all around, and there's so many things because they're so vulnerable. They can't defend themselves. They don't have teeth. They don't have tusks. They don't have horns. They can't run fast. They're not really good at evasive moves. They're just really kind of helpless, but yet they're independent, and they go out there, and they do these things. They think they got it all, and somebody has to go back and bring them back. Right. And he says, well, the worst part of it is, you know, is when they go to the bathroom. And I said, all right, what does that mean? I'm like, I'm assuming like anything else, right? I'm like, you're out in New Zealand. Who has to clean that up? You don't have to clean that up, right? It's not like dogs, which I know a lot about. But this is something different. He said, no, you know, it's kind of crazy. You know, we have to kind of shave them all the time. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, we have to shave their rear quarter because, you know, the stuff kind of gets stuck there, and then, you know, then there's flies, and then they get impacted, and then they could die. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's horrible. He goes, yeah, tell me about it. That's why I'm a priest now. I'm not doing that. Because I don't want to shave any. But after he was done unburdening himself, you know, we all started to think theologically about what he was saying, and really, he's talking about the total depravity of people. Jesus was very insightful, right? I mean, I know when my kids were born, and I'm sure when I was born too, you know, if your parent isn't there to change diapers and care, that child will die in their mess, right? But, you know, that's also the story of our whole life. I remember my grandfather when he was in his 80s. I would go over there when he was in hospice, and I would actually lift him up so his aide could take his diaper off and clean him so he could have some dignity. You know, that's going to be me one day. It might be you also. That's our life. We are dependent creatures, dependent upon the love and concern and care of others. You know, and talk about having independent ideas and going off on our own. How many good ideas have you ever had that left you kind of stranded in a bad place, right? We all do this. And we all think we have ideas sometimes which are better than the shepherd's voice, right? See, sheep are different too, he said. He said, you know, cattle, you can drive cattle, right? You brand them and then you drive them. So you can move them in herds where you want to go. But sheep, what do? You don't drive them, you lead them. Right? You go in front of them and you call them. Now he said, you know, sheep were one of the first God's creations with voice recognition. They really do hear the voice of the shepherd. That's why they don't brand the sheep. And this young man said, you know, me and the rest of the shepherds, we used to go and have a camp out for a couple of days in a nice piece of green grass, and then when it was time to separate, we'd go to different corners and we'd call, and our flocks would separate. We'd lose a couple here and there, they would go to, but for the most part, everybody would separate and they would follow the voice of the shepherd. And then they would be led off to another place. Well, you know in your own life when you listen to that voice of the shepherd. When you are listening to God's word on a daily basis, when you are hearing the Lord's call to forgive those who don't deserve forgiveness, when you are hearing God's call to love those who are unlovable, when you hear God's call to be obedient, when the rest of the crowd or even your internal voice tells you to rebel. But the truth of the matter is, and this is what my friend said to me, he goes, I know I couldn't be a shepherd because the number one requirement of every shepherd is you really got to love those sheep And he goes, you know what? I really didn't love those sheep. He goes, I would rather spend my days and my time loving God's sheep, God's people. And you know, the Lord calls each and every one of us, not only those who are ordained or in seminary or who are called teachers, don't want to leave the called teachers out, to be shepherds or musicians in the church, but calls each and every one of us by virtue of our baptism, not only as sheep by name, as we heard in the Good Shepherd, but calls us to be shepherds for others, calls us to be junior shepherds, calls some of us to be senior shepherds, but calls us to shepherd one another. And that's a beautiful, beautiful assignment, or I would say vocation, which is extended to us. Don't you think? Don't you think? How much more meaning than to be a shepherd of God's children? And that's what you are. And you can go to a nursing home with worship to go, or independently on your own, and you can visit people that are lost in their mind, or just lost, estranged from their family and perhaps their friends, who are disoriented, who need a shepherd, who need somebody to love them. You can be with me and others as we try to reach out for those who are struggling with addiction and their families, and to say, hey, we care. You can be there with victims of domestic violence, with sheep that have been beaten, and you can say, we care, we love you. And you can lead them, not drive them, lead them to a place of safety and love. You can do all sorts of things because the Lord is your shepherd and has already taught you how to walk in the way of the shepherd. You know, one last thing that stuck with me forever, this has nothing to do with New Zealand in that discussion, but I know it to be a truth. In the Highlands of Scotland, it's an interesting topography. If you've been there, there are a lot of kind of sheer kind of cliffs and precipices and all sorts of rocky crags, and the sheep that are there are a little bit more used to that type of an environment, but the grass that they love, the grass that they covet mostly, is this grass that grows in these rocky crags. And it grows there because of the lichens and the moss that's there. It's sweeter than the rest of the grass. So the sheep will do everything they can to get down to these little rocky crag areas. And a lot of times they'll descend like 15, 20 feet. But the places that they descend to, there's no way for them to get back because they don't have a reverse. They can't go backwards. They're not mountain goats. They're sheep, and they're stuck, and they're domestic sheep. They're not mountain sheep. So what happens when they're stranded there? Well, the shepherds leave them there. They have to leave them there. They leave them there, and they wait, and these sheep are bleeding and bleeding and bleeding, making that noise, you know, blah, blah. And they wait, and they wait, and they wait. And they wait till the sheep can no longer stand and they're so tired that they are on their knees. And then they descend down to them with a rope around their waist and they tie a rope around them and then they come back up and then they hold the sheep up. But do you know why they wait until the sheep are exhausted? Because if they were to go down there earlier, the sheep would be spooked. They wouldn't know what to do, and they would leap, they would jump, they would fall to their death. It's only after those sheep have lost all options, have realized that they can't save themselves, and they get down on their knees, that the shepherd can come and rescue them. And that is the human condition, brothers and sisters. None of us are perfect. And all of us spend our time, sometime, on our knees. And the Lord has and will continue to come to us and rescue us. Because that's the kind of God we have. That's what we know in Jesus. We know a God of love, the King of love, my shepherd is. We know that he's going to come for us. So therefore, let us not waste our time just bleeding around or thinking that our own ideas are supreme, but let us listen to the voice of the shepherd and let us dare to be junior shepherds and to go and take care of our Lord's flock with our Lord's help. I know we can do it. Amen.